702 Series Edition.
The Series Edition is brought to you by Hudako Energy, trusted providers of reliable information on the most sustainable power and backup solutions. Visit Hudako Energy, that's H-U-D-A-C-O energy.co.za for more. And he's back with us, James Shirley, Managing Director of Hudako Energy. Thank you so much for coming through. Happy Human Rights Day, or it's not happy, it's just... It's Human Rights Day. There we go. So I want to jump straight into this conversation because I know we always run out of time. So let's talk about the pitfalls to look out for when installing solar. Last week we touched on maybe what's some of the due diligence that people need to do when they are finding somebody to install solar for them. We touched a little bit on insurance and the fact that insurance won't cover if you did not do what you were supposed to do to ensure the correct installer. So let's jump to the pitfalls.
Sure. Well, I mean, let's start with the insurance. You know, we spoke about your insurance as a homeowner, but
yes,
I think one of the things which a lot of people forget to do is to ask whether the installer has got their own liability insurance.
Oh.
What happens if they fall off a roof? What happens if... you know, something happens to them if they hurt themselves while on site.
Yes, yes.
You know, do they have good standing with the Department of Labor, for example?
Yes, yes, yes. And I think that's something that I definitely didn't consider at all, because you constantly think about the cover I must have. Why is it important that they also have to have cover?
Well, I think accidents do happen, especially if you're working at heights. Or if you're working with electricity, you know, you require training to do those things. So it's really important that number one, you know that they're covered. If something happens, they're not going to come after you as the homeowner and say, oh, you created an unsafe environment.
Or yes.
When in fact, it's possible that they created an unsafe environment for you. And the second thing is because it actually just demonstrates that you're dealing with a real company, right? That you're dealing with people that have spent the time, that actually have gone through the necessary training, that have taken their own steps to ensure and protect their own teams and their own staff.
Yes, yes. And I think it's important because whatever accidents could occur could be somebody falling.
Sure.
You know, it isn't necessarily always related to the panels themselves.
Yeah. And of course, you know, it's not just falling off a roof, but could be falling through a roof.
Oh, my goodness.
It doesn't happen often.
Yes.
But, you know, maybe somebody steps in the wrong place.
Yes.
Maybe there's been some damage that somebody didn't see previously, or that was just patched over and something can give way. So it's really important that you're dealing with people that are actually properly trained to be in
yes.
those positions.
So when it comes to that then, what are you asking for? Because if you're checking, okay, this person is accredited, then what is the next step after that? Because if how can you prove that they have their own insurance?
Sure. Well, first of all, you can ask them for a copy of it.
Oh, you can.
Yeah, you absolutely can.
That sounds so invasive.
You know, not at all. Any company that's submitting a tender will generally have letter of good standing, you know, your tax clearance certificate,
yes.
Proof of your insurances. So any real company doing commercial work will have to have those anyway. And they put it in something called a safety file. So you can generally always say, please, I want to see your safety file. Not only will that have all of those things in, but it'll also have the IDs of the people that are working on the site for you. Should tell you very clearly who's the foreman. In other words, there might be 10 people on my site. Who's actually the person that's in charge?
Yes, yes.
You can ask for who's the competent person that's going to issue my certificate of compliance. In a lot of cases, people will just get some third-party qualified electrician that we spoke about, you know, registered electrician, just to write the COC from somewhere else, right? But the certificate of compliance implies that installation has been under the control of.
Yes.
And that person has inspected and has said, yes, I've inspected and I see this is correct. This was installed under my control.
So that certificate of compliance is going to possibly protect me if I need to claim for something that is related to the solar or the installation thereof, to say I did everything I was supposed to do. Here's my certificate.
Yeah, I mean, I got a lovely call from a lady after the last show who had her installation for about 2 years and she still can't get the certificate of compliance.
Why?
Well, that's, you know, I'm going to have to try and help her on that. It's not my role and responsibility, but it's certainly something which if your installer does not do that to you, immediately it raises a whole bunch of red flags. Why not? Are they competent? Is my installation correct?
So realistically, how soon after the installation is done should you be getting the certificate of compliance?
Normally, it'll be within a week, right? Mm. And I say normally within a week because often people have got a lot of paperwork to do, and generally installers are so busy at the moment that they might go through, and every evening they may say, okay, well, I'm doing
the admin
tonight. Yeah. So in most cases, we see within 2-3-4 days. In a lot of cases, we actually see it delivered that same day.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
But it doesn't have to be immediate, but normally within a few days, you should get that certificate of compliance.
So in the case of an installer who has not given the certificate of compliance, the natural assumption would be, oh, they're not accredited to even give one. Did your particular person that reached out for help, did they say, no, they actually did present everything they were supposed to in terms of being accredited, and I even checked that they're with a body. It's not even at that point.
No. I mean, this poor lady, I think she's 66 years old.
Yes.
It was her pension money.
Mm.
And nobody had explained these things to her properly ahead of time.
Mm.
You know, and she's not alone in this. There's a lot of people that are in a similar scenario.
So why does she now need it? Did something specific happen that it became a thing of, oh my gosh, I need this?
Well, I don't think anything specific has happened yet.
Yes,
but,
yes.
But, you know, in her particular case, she was talking about how her home is like her pension and her gift to her kids when she goes.
Mm.
And you are required to have a certificate of compliance, whether that's for transfer, whether it's for insurance, whether it's for anything.
Yes.
And I think it's a concern for her that it's not there.
Yes, which is fair.
Yeah, and again, the concern isn't the piece of paper. The concern is, am I safe? Is it done properly? Was it done to the standards? And if it was, why is it not forthcoming?
So outside of the certificate of compliance, because it's one of the things that you mentioned, when you are, you know, discussing whatever with the installer, asking for the insurance, asking who will give me the certificate of compliance, I would even add, when am I getting it? What are the other questions or the other things you need to request from them to avoid problems later?
One of the things I would do is I would say, are they likely to be there after the installation? So you can look, how long have they been around? You know, have they just created this company 6 weeks ago and all of a sudden, you know, they're doing it?
They go belly up.
Yeah. Mm. So that's the thing. And are the products they're recommending to me, are they from proper suppliers that I can trace back, that I can see some type of history from? Or did they just go to some market, pick the product up, and if I'm stuck, well, I'm stuck, and they disappear, and there's no recourse for me at all?
Yes.
That's a really, really big one, I think, to look at.
Should anybody be concerned if a company that is trying to sell you products is the same company that says, we'll do the installation for you? Or is that a normal practice and a natural progression of a business being like, well, people keep asking us to do the installation, so we got our own in-house guy?
So it's normal practice. Generally, what will happen is you'll have the OEM, the original equipment manufacturer. They're based globally somewhere or locally.
Yes.
They manufacture equipment. They will supply distributors.
Yes.
That will import, warehouse, train, certify, you know, manage the warranties and so on their behalf. And then you will have the installers.
Mm.
And the installer, they do make a markup on product.
Mm.
Right, it's their right to. They have to go. They have to lay out their own money. They have to procure the products, transport them to site. They've got to install it.
Mm.
So generally, you would place one order in most cases on one installer.
Yes,
right. That's normally the buying thing.
Yes,
but it doesn't mean that you can't do your homework on the products they're going to use.
Mm. Mm.
You know, a lot of people say, "Oh, the battery's got 10 years warranty." Does it? How many cycles? Show me the conditions under which this warranty is valid.
Mm.
Right. Especially on some of the, I don't want to say older technologies, because there's nothing wrong with a lead acid or a gel battery at all. In fact, some of them last a very long time when taken care of. But is it sized properly? Do I need to maintain it? Is it maintenance free? You know, so all of these sorts of questions must be asked, because otherwise people have bought batteries which previously lasted 3-4 years. All of a sudden we've got 3 load sheds a day, and in 8 months, 9 months, these batteries are dead, but nobody's explained to them. Understand, battery life is based on number of uses or number of cycles a day.
Yes, yes, yes. And I think I'm glad we touched on that before, especially with the caller saying, how can you prove? And you did explain how you can prove the number of cycles. Just in terms of what you touched on around maintenance, do they need to be serviced? And is it the installer who should service them? And then at some point, if you are like, oh my gosh, I suddenly need to move house, but I don't want to leave my solar panels here because it's not adding a significant amount to the purchase price. So let me take it with me. I mean, what are those other things you need to consider prior to installing that maybe you should ask about? Okay, if these things need to be taken down and moved, is it possible?
Okay, so let's answer both of those questions. The first one is there are some types of batteries which need to be serviced. Just ask that before, either a maintenance battery or maintenance free. Normally, I would recommend that your installer does the maintenance anyway, right? Because we're talking now about getting valid companies that are actually going to be around for a while.
Yes.
Then they know the batteries, they know the installation. A good installer, by the way, if there is a maintenance component, should be offering you a maintenance contract. Why?
Really?
Because it's good revenue for them going forward anyway.
So, just a thought. Sorry, in my brain, I'm thinking about this like buying a car, but that obviously is being financed over a period of time. Hence, the maintenance maybe is part of the agreement. So with solar, you don't have a whole, with this purchase and this installation, it is inclusive of X amount of cycles and 1 year.
In some cases, you do.
Okay.
So under a lease or some finance models, you absolutely will have that, or a rental model. Then the maintenance sits with, you know, the provider.
Yes.
However, if you're fortunate enough to be able to buy it and it becomes your own asset that you're keeping, then maintaining that should be something you consider.
Okay. And then at what point then would you know that, let's say they say after X amount of cycles, somebody needs to come in and do whatever they need to do. At what point do you know that time has passed? Are they supposed to give you an estimate of the time period that they guesstimate, or will they start saying you will start noticing that the power sitting in your batteries is sort of, the usage is reducing faster than normal?
So it depends on the battery type.
Okay.
You know, some of the more advanced lithium iron phosphate, for example, lithium ferrophosphate, will have a battery management system that can do that. Some of the other technologies may not have that. Either way, again, either you can put it into your own calendar, or, you know, some of the good installers, some of the good project companies, they run customer relationship management tools, and they'd say, we've done this installation on 21st of March. 21st of March, every year for the next 5 years, I'm going to give you a call just to find out how things are. Which, again, is good business.
Yes.
The installer should be doing that anyway.
Yes.
Right? And you as the homeowner should have the confidence to know, hey, they're going to call me and find out how it is.
And then ideally, if you can, is to ask in advance, how much about am I looking at?
Yeah.
Okay.
Certainly on our commercial projects, on our partners' commercial projects, almost all of them include somewhere between 1 and 5 years maintenance built into their capital cost.
Oh, wow. Okay. That makes sense, though, so that it's not always the customer's problem.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. So what are some of the other pitfalls?
Well, one of the other things that we spoke about then is are you able to unpack or uninstall your system and take it with you? And the answer is yes, you can. In a lot of cases, you can. Some of the things you may not be able to do is, for example, the roof rails. If they've penetrated the roof and they've locked those in, you don't want to go and take those out and try and seal up the roof again. Right? You would normally.
It's not just like hanging a painting on a wall taking the nail out and just covering the hole.
Exactly. Because they will, well, in some cases, they will actually penetrate a tile. In other cases, if it's a clip lock roof, for example, it'll fit around that. However, should you take it with you, I would suggest that the panels may not be the right thing to move. Your inverter and your batteries, maybe. But I think in South Africa today, if you're selling a house or if you're buying a house, to not have a backup or solar system either in your sale or going in right after you moved in just seems to be crazy. I know some of the banks already, when they grant a bond, they allow an amount for a backup system on top of that bond already. So for me, it's going to become a standard thing, like an appliance. Does it come with your oven, your geysers, your backup system? Those are just, they're going to be things that are built into the home when you buy or sell.
And I'm glad you're explaining it like that. So just in terms of the reason that you say maybe wouldn't be such a good idea to be moving panels, is that a cost reason or because they just risk getting damaged outside of damage to the roof?
So both of those.
Yes.
And then a third reason.
Mm-hmm.
When you install the panels, they get installed and you have things called strings. And when you start mixing and matching, you know, the system will always tend towards the lowest voltage production of that. So if you start mixing up the panels and some have degraded more than others, then you start mixing and matching and your whole system might perform slightly lower than the original design.
Okay, that makes complete sense. Okay, so which other pitfalls should we be looking at?
Okay, so I think one of the biggest ones is to ask, give me a list of 10 happy customers. Where's your I Love Me file?
Mm.
Right? Word of mouth carries so much more weight than I saw this advert on Facebook, I saw it on LinkedIn, I saw it on a sign, I don't know what it is.
Mm.
I want to speak to 10 people in my area, or 20 people, or 5 people, or somebody, or 3 people that I know that have your system. I want to know not just about, is the system finished?
Yes.
Were you on time? Did you clean up afterwards? Are my expectations met?
Mm.
Did you suddenly come back later with a whole bunch of price exclusions because you changed your mind? Or, you know, did you have to wait? Or when things go wrong, because sometimes things do go wrong. You know, for example, supply chain has been a big issue for the last year.
Mm.
People may have scheduled installations and for some reason it's had to get pushed back, either because it's rained a lot or because the products suddenly haven't been available for a week.
So in terms of the whole, when they are coming to install, is there anything you should be doing as the homeowner while your solar panel is being installed? And I'm just talking like in real life on the day.
Yeah, sure. So definitely don't plan to be using electricity on the day. You know, try and plan your life around it. Because one of the longest parts of the installation is integrating into your distribution board.
Mm.
So they often have to split essential and non-essential loads.
Yes.
And the guys have to be working in their wiring properly so that it's safe for you to use.
Mm.
So if people are constantly saying, well, don't do that because I need power, don't do that because
yes.
I need power. Just plan around it. Imagine it's going to be a full one-day load shedding event or whatever.
Which is just even a norm for many in the country, just a random outage for the whole day. Yes.
Yeah. And then be aware and be kind to the installers. They've got a lot of guys that are working on the roof in the sun, especially if it's summer. Have water ready for the guys. Mm. Be prepared, even if it's paper cups or something. Just help the guys out. You know, they're up there, they're sweating, it's hot. And you don't want the guys being fatigued or working out. So number one, be kind to them. And number two, take care of them so that they can do their job properly.
At what point within the installation process can rain be a problem with them stopping halfway? As in, like, is it ever dangerous that certain things are exposed that shouldn't be exposed to water?
A small amount, not very often.
Mm.
Generally, the guys don't work on thatch, so we're not too concerned with lightning rods right there.
Yes.
Most of the issues that come from rain is the potential to slip and fall off a roof.
Mm.
And if the guys do have to open, normally they're not going to open a roof and leave it open if they know rain is coming.
Yes.
You know, they can plan around that. But I think slipping and falling is a bit of a dangerous one. And then if it is raining, if the existing installation is not safe, you know, there's puddles forming outside and the guys are trying to tie in, that can be dangerous. So they generally just be prepared that if there is heavy rain, you may have a delay or two.
Also, I'm thinking a good idea for the homeowner to be there themselves is once people start going into your roof, they might find other things unrelated to why they're there that they need to be like, I don't know if you know this, but there's a body.
I haven't heard of that, but it's possible, yeah. Hopefully it's $1 million hidden somewhere or in a couch, who knows?
I don't think the installers would tell you if they found $1 million in your roof. But have they ever found things that they've had to tell homeowners, listen, just for safety's sake, we need to stop?
Often. Mm. And it's normally around earthing.
Mm.
You know, up in the roof, guys will run geysers, and then suddenly guys take lights and they run it from a geyser circuit. Or they take geyser circuits, which are supposed to be protected by earth leakage, and they just pull it off a light circuit somewhere else. And now you've got this thing that's not protected against earthing.
Mm.
So especially on homes that have been worked on by lots of electricians over time, it can become a risk where you find wiring issues which are completely unrelated to the solar system and are not compliant, and you feel bad, or the homeowner then gets angry because they say, well, now I've got to spend extra money, but it has nothing to do with the installers, right? It's actually about compliance, and if they have to issue a certificate of compliance, it's their duty to tell you, hey, this is not compliant, this should be made right.
And you see, that's the other thing I didn't think of, is actually the compliance is going to be related to what was existing that they find. Because for you as the layman who isn't an electrician, you don't know what's gone up there. They might come back and say, listen, this needs to be solved first. The only time I see those things is on those like home renovation things where they say, this is the budget, we're going to change the house. And then they get into the wall, they're like, we have a massive problem, you're going to have to fork out another $10,000.
That's just it. And sometimes that does happen. Now, bear in mind, the solar certificate of compliance does not have to make the entire house right.
Yes.
But it is their duty to tell you, hey, this is a problem. And it happens a lot more than we would like it to happen.
Final thoughts on some of the pitfalls that one needs to look out for when it comes to installing solar?
I think be aware it's a big investment. Mm. Do your homework. Ask the questions. Don't be afraid to ask the questions. Ask for some referrals. Make sure that the products are right. Make sure that the installers are going to be around. And if they're not, make sure that the company whose hardware you're buying has other installers that could cover you if, for example, those guys went belly up.
Oh, the things we don't think about. Thank you so much, James Shirley, Managing Director of Hudako Energy. Now, are you a home or small business owner who is tired of load shedding and not sure where to turn for reliable information on sustainable power and backup solutions? Hudako Energy is here to help. Get great advice on where to start sizing a residential solar storage system and what to look for in an installer. Their systems are designed to optimize for cost and reliability. For more information, go to Hudako Energy. That's Hudako Energy.co.za. Hudako Energy, sustainable power and storage.